Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're talking about the Jets and the Aaron Glenn regime. So they're sitting there at number 7.
Right.
Where do you think they're going to go with that particular pick?
Well, everybody on TV saying O-line, and you know what? I agree with them. It's going to be an O-lineman. I think to think about Aaron Glenn, where he comes from, what they believe in, Detroit, man, and Philadelphia showed us.
Yeah.
If you got a good O-line, man, oh, man, you can do everything. Everybody looks good. And, you know, the defense is another thing there. But Armon Membo, just from Missouri, big guy, 6'4", 332. I didn't like him. I loved him. And I was telling you off air, Gio, he's mad as hell. You know what I mean?
And it's he's got good quality.
Yeah, it really is. He chases guys down to hit them one more time when plays are over. I love that. And he's built like we want to see a tackle. Long arms. I mean, a big lower body, just a big dude so he can't be overpowered. That's what, you know, you get a tackle that weighs 293. Man, you know, these guys coming off the end now in the NFL, you got to have a tackle that can absorb it and still hang in there, and he's one of those guys.
I remember us having a conversation about the NFL having problems at the offensive tackle position of the athleticism of the edge rushers, guys like Micah Parsons, of course, maybe Abdul Carter is one of those guys. But there's also, I would say, six or seven edge rushers that are going to go in the first round.
Yes.
Right? There's probably about 7 offensive linemen that are going to go in the first round, 2 quarterbacks, maybe 3. What do you got, about 2 running backs in the first round?
2 running backs, yes.
Chenty, and then the kid from North Carolina.
Yes.
O'Marion, is that how you say it?
O'Marion,
okay.
Yeah. I haven't looked at everybody's pronunciations up. There's so many guys, but...
It feels more like a defensive draft to me. Like, the better players seem to be defensive to me in this draft.
Here's what's happening. It's the NFL is going backwards. They want big boys now. It's a big, again, the Eagles changed everybody's thinking, and they overpowered their opponents to win a Super Bowl. And I think, you know, back, Boomer, you go back to the early 80s and all that, or mid 80s, even up to 90, it was just hammer time. It's how big guys were dominating the NFL. Then it got spread out more, smaller, faster, but I think it's going back that way. That's why I think so many guys, big people, D tackles. There'll be 3 of them probably taken in the first round.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like the great Cowboy teams of the 90s, they were small on defense on the back end. The back 7 were small. The front 4 were big. And their offensive line was massive. And I remember looking at from the right cheek of the right tackle to the left cheek of the left tackle, might have been the widest offensive line in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was like 25 yards wide.
It's one of the best offensive lines in history.
Yes,
it was. And the Eagles this past year, I think it's debatable. It's one of the best offensive lines I've ever seen.
And
in
the
history.
Lions have one of these offensive
they
lines.
They have it too.
Hence why, you know, Aaron Glenn, I guess, you know, he's a defensive guy. He knows how important it is to have cornerbacks and linebackers and defensive tackles. But if you get another game-changing offensive tackle to go with Olufashinu, now all of a sudden you have your bookend tackles.
Yeah, I think every Jet fan would love that. I know it's not a sexy pick, but I think they're smart enough about football around here to understand how important that is. Who is the...
Well, we found out, you know, offensive line has been an issue with so many teams because they get beat up and they get hurt. And why do they get hurt? Because they're falling on each other. You know, that's what happened. So now...
Evan Neal was falling and people are tripping over
him. Yeah. Well, that's a different story.
But, yeah.
You know, so go ahead, Gio. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No. Who do you believe the best player of the draft is, regardless of position?
It's the two that everybody else thinks. It's Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter.
Okay, and if you were a general manager, a head coach, front office, you're drafting Travis Hunter, how are you using him on the field?
I'm offense. And listen, you guys have heard me talk off air. The receiving core that's coming into the league, it's not the prototypes like it used to be. They are still out there. McMillan, the kid from Arizona, is one of those guys. But it's the guys that can play slot receiver or outside and catch short passes like that and break tackles. Travis Hunter, I don't know. I watched 100 plays of his. And I don't know if the first guy, but maybe about 3 or 4 times, made a tackle after he caught the ball on those short passes or screens. And there's about 5 guys like him in the draft. Not as good as him, that I think a lot of teams, and Boomer, you said it, the league get rid of the football quick, lots of screens, short passes, and then you try to find the shots down the field when you can.
Playmakers like Ashton Jeanthe, who will be the number one running back taken. So let me ask you about the Atlanta Falcons. Do you see Kirk Cousins being traded before the draft? And what's really interesting, I saw Adam Schefter post this. I saw it, at a bunch of different websites. As we sit right now, there hasn't been one trade leading up to this draft. In other words, everybody has the pick that they're supposed to have leading up to this draft. I don't know the last time this has happened this late in the game. But I'm assuming that Kirk Cousins is going to get traded here before too long. And if he does, where do you think he goes?
I would say Cleveland. I mean, that's a thought.
And they have Flacco. They have Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett. And then, you know, and I know talking to a college coach who told me that Cleveland says, oh, my God, we want your guy. Okay. We're going to do this. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Travis Hunter. And they're looking for a quarterback in the second round. But can they get one of the guys they're thinking of? But they've already determined that's what they want to do, or they say. We'll see how it works out.
Then, therefore, Kirk Cousins, not to Cleveland.
I would think not.
What about him to Pittsburgh? If Aaron Rodgers decides, I'm going to sit and wait for Minnesota.
You know, I'll say this, though. Who's going to be Atlanta's backup? Who is the backup if it's not Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole other set of circumstances.
You know, you got to protect your football team. Now, can you get rid of him and save money?
But you and I both know that Kirk Cousins does not want to be there under these circumstances.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
And nobody wants an unhappy backup quarterback, especially as Aaron Glenn has said, you know, I don't want a 41-year-old sitting in the meeting room, you know, questioning everything I'm doing.
Right.
And by having Kirk Cousins in that building with Michael Penix, that doesn't serve anybody's purposes.
No, probably not. I would just say if it gets to a point, they're going to have to eat the salary or a lot of it and then trade him. But then, man, you got to have a guy that you
could
feel like...
Could he end up in Pittsburgh?
He could, yes.
Can he still play?
Well, you know, that's a good question. He did, you know, I got on him last year because I watched the cover. I said, oh, my God, he's throwing the ball terrible. But then I find out he had a little trouble with his arm and got injured. So I felt bad that I jumped on it too quick. Because when you watch him play, he is accurate. He does throw perfect spirals. Is his arm strong? No, by NFL averages, it's not strong. It's not NFL average when you talk about the power. But his accuracy and, you know, just knowing how to play is a big deal. So do you keep him to protect your team? He doesn't want that. So I don't really...
I mean, Pittsburgh right now is the only team that I can think of...
That doesn't have
somebody of a veteran status other than Mason Rudolph that could be their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I know. So...
And that's why, you know, I'm sitting here, and we're assuming that J.J. McCarthy's going to be fine for the Vikings. That's the other place, but we don't know the answer to that.
Let me just ask you. Kirk Cousins to Pittsburgh. Do you think that's the answer?
No.
I don't either. So I, it's not a, to
the
me,
answer
it's not
for
a,
what? To what? Them getting over the hump in the AFC.
Is it going to help them get them to the playoffs? Is it going to be better than last year? You know, all we talk about the Steelers is their quarterback. Well, you know, the offensive line can play better. Let's get a running back to actually gain some yards when we knock them down. Okay, they did help the receiving core there. But even the defense, yeah, it has some splashy players. But overall, I don't look at their defense and go, oh, my God, this is Super Bowl defense. I can't believe they're not dominating in the playoffs. You know, I don't see that. I think they have a lot of issues.
They're averaging like 15 points a game. They're not going to win a lot. But that's their style of play. But that's another weird team because they had Justin Fields. They had Russell Wilson. And now...
Well, I think they're fully convinced that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. That's what they put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. And if he burns them, he burns them. But that's what they believe. I mean, when the owner, Art Rooney II, on television says,
yeah,
we feel very good about Aaron Rodgers coming here, then... That's what they think is going to happen. He might pull a 180 on him and see you later, I'm retiring. And then they'll be really screwed. But that's what they wanted to do. The whole time, this is what they wanted. Because they didn't bring back either one of those guys.
Who won the offseason, the Jets or the Giants, in terms of free agency?
I thought the Giants did a really good job. I mean, I think they offensive line, get the safety. I looked at it last night. I can't remember all who they picked up. But I think they did a good job. You know, once they get Abdul Carter, you know, and the offensive line had some great good moments last year.
But they got to stay healthy. Andrew Thomas has got to stay healthy. Yeah. If the left tackle can make it through 17 games, now you got something.
And I think the quarterbacks, I do think Russell Wilson and, you know, I think they can do a good job
to
at least give the team a chance to win, you know. And so we'll see.
What do you think the number is that's going to make John Mara, from a win standpoint, feel like this regime should stick around? I mean, do they have to have a winning record, or does...
I don't think so.
8-9 sound okay? Like,
I would say 7's a cinch. Keep your job.
All right.
Who's got a better roster, the Jets or the Giants, at the moment?
Man, that's tough. I think the Jets probably have, in my eyes, I think they have the better roster right now. It's close, though. Very close.
You think
close.
Their defense is good enough to return to where they were a couple years ago?
I think it's going to be much better than it was last year.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the talent, I know Gio gets mad at all this, it's there. Now, can we make them produce the way they should? And that's up to the coach to get an environment where you are going to be a different player this year over last year. And I will be absolutely shocked if we don't see a difference with their eyes. First game of the year that we won't see a difference with the Jets' whole football team.
So I remember when Bill Parcells took over the Jets back in 1997. You know, he basically, or 96, was it 96 or 97? 97, I think it was. He instilled discipline in the locker room. He instilled a competitive edge at practice. He was not taking any crap from anybody. In other words, he had the ability to put the hammer down. Now, he inherited something that was far worse than what Aaron Glenn is inheriting.
One win, right?
Yes.
One.
So he was inheriting something far worse.
Yeah.
But Aaron Glenn, along the same planes, is inheriting that. But he doesn't come in with the receipts that Bill Parcells had already had.
No.
And here's the thing that the Jets have done once again. A rookie head coach, a rookie general manager, and a rookie offensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
But they do have Rick Spielman in the building.
But, okay, and listen, to be better than they were last year, how much is that going to take? Okay?
Yeah, not much.
Not much is right. So, and I do like the fact, I'm not going to say I was a big fan of Justin Fields down in Pittsburgh, and I thought they used him very well. They kept it basic or whatever, and they gave him two or three plays a game where they were going to give him a chance to run left, fake, run left, and throw the ball all the way across the field to the right corner. And his arm, now listen, he's got a powerful arm.
Hey, listen, physical.
But those plays really helped their football team.
Physical tools are there. There is no question about that. What has held him back?
Well, he's not a systematic thrower. He doesn't drop back and throw routine throws and hit them all the time like what you want out of NFL quarterback. Now, I don't know if he's had that many chances is the way I look at it. Because the Steelers played extremely conservative with him out there.
But why? I mean, like, why would they play extremely conservative?
That's who they are.
Yeah, but isn't
we're going to run the ball, Boomer, and we're going to play great defense, and we're going to win the game 17-14.
Yeah, but the idea is also to put the quarterback in the situation where you think he is going to flourish the best.
All right.
And therefore playing, like, as you said, somewhat conservative fits. So you're not.
Conservative, that's not even a good word for it.
But what? But so he's now an experienced NFL quarterback, and you're playing a conservative brand of football. I'm just asking you why.
I mean, I think the answer that Boomer's looking for is he can't throw the ball very well. Is that the answer you're looking for?
He's not the guy that's going to drop back 20 times a game and just read the defense and make those throws. Could it turn to that someday? Yes. But you got to do it in practice. You got to You got to do it in the games, too, until the guy gets... But they never used him that way. It was run, hand the ball off, move the pocket, make some throws down the field, and through time. Why didn't he go back to the Steelers? Because the way they treated him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think they had some interest in bringing him back at first, but...
And he said...
I was 4-2 as a starter. You never gave me an opportunity, even when Russell was struggling towards the end of the season.
Right.
The Jets are giving me the starting job, and they're paying me decent. I'll see you over there if we meet at some point.
I was just trying to get you to give me like...
Well, wait. Here's the other thing, Boomer. The offense with the Jets is going to be more creative than what we saw with the Steelers with Justin Fields. That I have no doubt about it. Play action passes... I say this all the time, and if you watch the NFL, play action, Jared Goff has great success because they play action a lot, they run the football, but he's far back where he has time to look down the field to make the throws, and then he has time to wind up and throw it. And who throws more crossing routes or in cuts in the NFL into tight coverage than Jared Goff?
The answer is nobody. Well, maybe Tua.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing. They're across, but it's not like power in cuts. You know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the offense he's running, and I'm sure Tanner Engstrom will bring that type of offense here. But whether or not he can do what Justin Fields can do, what Jared Goff is a whole other set of circumstances.
Well, what did he say when he was hired? Ben Johnson didn't do it all by himself.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, so I like
got
that
a little attitude too.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Got some window washers up there. Look at that shot there on CBS Sports Network. Imagine doing that job.
No.
A little more dangerous than what we do in here, I would say.
I think that's got to be at top of the Freedom Tower, right?
I'm not sure, but the location seems right where the Statue of Liberty is. It's a very, very tall building.
That's exactly where it is. That is the top of the Freedom Tower, and those are window washers. Have you seen how many windows the Freedom Tower has?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be thousands upon thousands, yes?
Oh, God.
The whole thing is a window.
Yes.
One big window.
Hmm. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
See, heights I'm not that worried about. It's claustrophobia, being stuck in something I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm like, heights I'm all right.
Looked like he was stuck sitting up in a thing. I don't know. I couldn't do it.
Really? Would you rather like be up there as a window washer or like stuck in an MRI machine for 4 hours?
Ooh, that's a good one.
4 hours?
Were you in one 4 hours?
No, I wasn't. My wife was in one for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, 2 hours.
There's two different muscles in her shoulder, whatever.
That's terrible. Arm. When you got your shoulder, put your arm over your head. What?
Yeah. So you got a choice. MRI machine will say 2 hours. Window washer up at the top of the Freedom Tower, 2 hours.
MRI.
You would take the MRI.
Oh, absolutely.
You slide right out of the MRI tube. Not that thing.
Well, assuming that you don't die up there. I'd have a great time up there with that view and everything.
Yeah, the problem is I'd be paralyzed.
Oh, really?
I couldn't do it.
You're not a heights guy?
No. Nope. Huh. Hate heights.
Okay. It never bothered me for whatever reason.
I mean, you know, as you get older...
Everything scares you.
Yeah. I'm in a plane. I'm like... And, you know, I literally, it's bad. My wife goes, well, when did this happen to you? I don't know, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Just, and it's every flight.
Well, that sucks.
Just tell her, I'm 70 now.
Yeah, there you go. And as soon as the plane shakes, everybody hears me. Oh, no, here we go again. Oh.
You ever think about taking something when you take to the plane, like anti-anxiety meds or a weed gummy or something?
No, I don't have any gummies.
I didn't say you didn't have a problem when we were on that plane coming back from the Super Bowl. That's for sure. God, you were yapping and just ripping on everybody.
Right.
I don't remember it that way.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was like a roast. I mean, I didn't even know the people you were talking about, and I was laughing my ass off.
I don't know something about this guy. What a prick.
It's unbelievable.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then Boomer came in here drunk. Remember that show? You were probably sleeping. You must have been sleeping.
When was this?
He came right in after the Super Bowl, after that flight.
Oh, he texted me. Yeah.
Right. Didn't go to sleep.
Yeah. I do remember it now.
Yeah.
The flight. Yeah.
Greg took the reads away from him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because, the first time I let it go, but the second time I had to take him away. So it was that NJ diet read where it's like you can lose 40 pounds in 40 days or whatever. So instead of reading what it says, he starts the read with his own rhetorical question. Are you a fat pig? So then I let that go. I was like, all right, it's just funny. But then when he said, go and get yourself a brand new Ford Expedition.
That's what I said. Okay.
You're right. Boomer and I were in the plane.
Yes.
And everybody else, yes, I do remember.
Sat with us for about 2 hours.
We were ripping everything.
And then I was like, I saw how much you were drinking. I was like, I got to stop because there's one of us has to be sober.
Yeah. I can say I've never had too much to drink, but only a couple times in my whole life. That was one. That definitely was
right. That was good. Well, that was
it was like a celebratory.
That was the Rams New England Super Bowl. That was not a great Super Bowl. It was a defensive Super Bowl.
Yeah, low scoring, yes.
Yeah, and I remember Gronk caught a corner route, and that was the play of the game.
Yeah.
But you guys were, I mean, you just completed a Super Bowl broadcast. The broadcast went well, and you're having off some steam.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
No,
it's fine. All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yankees head into the series in Cleveland off a win in Tampa 4-0. A lot going on here. You had home runs from Grisham, Wells, and Bellinger. Looked like Aaron Judge hit one, but it was ruled foul and then upheld on replay when it looked fair. You had Max Fried appearing to be throwing a no-hitter into the eighth inning, but then the official scorer changed his ruling from a couple of innings prior. So Fried asked when he knew what was going on in that eighth.
After it came out. So, yeah, I had no idea. I looked up and saw two hits, so I just... It is what it is. I'm just happy we got the win.
Just happy we got the win. Here was Judge, Aaron Boone on the Judge foul ball that really wasn't.
The audacity of the call standing is remarkable.
Yes, the audacity of it. Here was Judge knowing they blew it.
Yeah, it was a fair ball. But that's why we got replay. It's not an umpire. It's tough in a situation like this where at a minor league park, you know, the foul poles aren't as high. So that's why you have replay. They have it. And that's a fair ball.
Why do you think if we see the angle on TV that makes it look as clear as day that it's fair that they don't have that angle?
I have no idea, Jerry, unless they're going to say that the foul pole is so low that they can't tell where it went over exactly. But it's just, I mean, it's obvious as hell to me. I can't answer the question.
Well, the real question, and I think they asked the same thing on the Yes Network, was if they would have called it fair, would they have reversed it as foul?
No, you couldn't.
Interesting. Not conclusive evidence, I guess. We were talking about Trent Grisham and how well he is playing. We mentioned the fact that he hit the home run. He's also playing, you know, a sparkling outfield. Here was Jazz Chisholm with Susan afterwards.
No, I mean, I always knew that Trent Grisham was one of the best defensive center fielders out there. I mean, I played against him a little bit in the minor leagues and now a little bit in the big leagues as well. And just seeing him play every day, I'm just glad he's getting his shot now and showing everybody what he can do.
Doing a lot, as a matter of fact. So the Yankees will be in Cleveland tonight. The Yankees are 14-8, leading the division. Coverage on the Fan at 5:30, first pitch after 6 o'clock. Clark Schmidt making the start for the Yanks. As for the Mets, they beat the Cardinals 7-4. Interesting weekend for Juan Soto, but it certainly did end well.
2-2 pitch. Lindor runs from first and a liner towards the gap in left center. Ciani hustling over. Won't get it. It goes to the wall. It should score two. Taylor is in. Lindor digging for the plate. He will score standing without a relay throw. And on at second with a two-run double is Juan Soto.
And that was Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey.
Oh, it's Juan Soto.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yes, it is, Al.
It sure was, as he drove in a couple there, three on the afternoon. The Mets beat the Cardinals 7-4. Brandon Nimmo, the go-ahead RBI single in the seventh. So a couple of things from Soto. Here first, which you heard earlier, this his approach in that eighth inning at bat.
For me, I go to two strikes. Definitely just put the ball in play and see what happens. At the beginning, I was trying to go yard, but When he put me on the holes, I just tried to put the ball in play. He make a good pitch, and I make a better swing.
All right, so we mentioned an interesting weekend. So in terms of the fans and the crowd reaction, we know the way his season has begun. There's been some struggles, yet they were cheering him this weekend, and here was Soto in the locker room.
This is a great feeling. It's a great feeling, you know, when you have a fan base supporting you. When you're doing bad, when you're doing good, it's just great. I mean, I really appreciate what they did. They don't. I feel like they don't know how meaningful is that. I think it means a lot for the players when they do that, and it feels really special.
So it's the old Trey Turner effect.
That's right.
Doing the opposite of what's expected of them.
Well, I mean, when you're winning, it's a lot easier to do that.
No question.
With the player.
No question about it.
I mean, it's flip the record around and see if that same thing happens.
Probably true. And then here was one, speaking of the crowd, here was Francisco Lindor, the uptick in attendance, he says, very noticeable at Citi Field.
Last year it was not like this, so I appreciate the fans coming out and giving us love and supporting us. We play for them, so we definitely do feel it whenever they're in the crowd. And I mean, whenever they're in the stands and they are pushing us and they're supporting us, it's almost like... it feels like a real home field advantage.
And they did have a great weekend of crowds, just like the Yankees have had at Yankee Stadium these first few weeks of the season. All right, some other stuff from, no, we'll go to the Knicks. So they play the Pistons tonight. Josh Hart was asked. So they win really because in the fourth quarter they played a really good defensive game. They had the 21-0 run. He was asked post-game on Saturday, so did that fourth quarter feel like last year, which was kind of missing for much of this season?
Nah, I mean, it's different. I didn't know we went on like a 20-0 run. We just played extremely hard. And you know, the target was rocking, so.
Yeah, you can't even. All right, if you saw this, then don't answer the question.
Okay.
But what Yankees jersey did Josh Hart warm up in?
Oh, I didn't see this.
Before the game. What player?
All right, your current Yankee, or was it a former Yankee?
Current Yankee player.
Current Yankee.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't a full Yankee jersey. It was like something that was like a Yankee warm-up type of thing.
I say Ben Rice.
It was not Ben Rice, no. Eddie, do you have a guess? Yankee, current Yankee.
Goldschmidt?
No, not Paul Goldschmidt either, no.
Was not, I mean, the obvious answer would be Judge, but that can't be the answer if you're asking.
Al?
Trent Grisham.
No, that's a good guess. Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, okay.
Jazz Chisholm, that's right. So they call him Jism a lot, Phil.
I've heard that.
Yeah, many people mispronouncing that.
Yes.
Wanting to say Chisholm, but they say Jism instead. Uh-huh. Very weird type of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, carry on.
So you
on,
say
Jared.
It both ways, I understand, yes.
Yeah. I actually haven't made the mistake. Was that a fart? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it. I was just laughing. I thought they were laughing at what you were saying.
I was laughing at Phil.
Why?
I mean, that was as loud of a fart as ever happened in this studio.
That was a lift the leg and release.
Oh, my God.
So it was Boomer. Oh, my gosh.
While I was talking with my headphones in, I heard that.
I was laughing at Phil.
Yeah, okay. Sure you were.
I was.
I mean,
when you hit him with jism, you saw he turn white.
No, white. Have you seen yourself on TV? Look like you've been embalmed. Man. Look, hey, Jerry, look at it. Oh, shoot, don't look at me. Holy Christ, I'm whiter than Boomer.
Just four guys shooting the breeze, baby.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Shooting something.
Yes. Yeah, right.
That was incredible.
Well, it's all that medicine he's taking.
<That's kind> of, like, I thought there was construction in the building until he looked at me and smirked.
Yeah, he looked at you and smiled. What do you think about it? Oh, boy.
So anyway, game two tonight at Madison Square Garden. Meantime, the Warriors did it with a couple of familiar names, as you might expect, as they beat the Rockets.
Steph ripped it through on Jalen Green. Goes to his right. Out of bounds. Three is up. And he hit it! Oh, my goodness. Falling out of bounds right in front of Warriors owner Joe Lacob. A miraculous three by Curry on Easter.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
That was right up your alley. Miracle. I mean, Jesus.
Well, I mean, Anthony Gallo said he was going to rise like Christ.
He did say that.
Yeah. He did say that.
So, whatever. 95-85 was the final.
Has Anthony Gallo risen?
I don't know.
Yeah. I imagine he showed up to work.
Yeah, it was 1 to 6 a.m. on Easter morning, so I'm hoping that he did.
1 to 6 a.m. on Easter morning. God
yeah,
bless him.
I know.
Here was Draymond Green, a 10-point win over the Rockets, getting it done.
We know that's a great ball club. They're the number 2 seed for a reason. Great defensive team. They never back down. We got up 20 points, 23 points, and they continue to fight. But that's what we expect. Just takes a consistent effort for 48 minutes.
Yeah, very good win for them on the road. The Cavaliers easy over the Heat, 121-100. Celtics easy over the Magic, 103-86. Nothing easier, though, than the Thunder beating the Grizzlies, 131-80. Here was Ja Morant. Yeah, it's bad, but we'll bounce back.
If we win Tuesday, the series 1-1. And this game won't matter.
And that is very true. They would have done their job if they actually split the two, but we shall see if they can do that. But a 51-point loss, that is quite large. Hurricanes Devils yesterday, game one at Carolina. This did not go well for New Jersey as they wound up losing 4-1. Jalen Chatfield scored early in the first, and then Stankoven scored twice. We played a couple of those highlights throughout the course of the morning. Here was Nico Hischier. He scored the only Jersey goal. So how do you change this going forward?
It's more direct, more simpler. I think also we allowed them way too much to get the puck on net. I think we've got to be better in shooting.
And 24 shots on goal, 23 saves for Frederick Anderson. Game two will be played tomorrow night at Carolina. You've got the Rangers in search of a new head coach. That news broke on Saturday as they did let go of Peter Laviolette. A lot of familiar names being rumored about in terms of who could be their next head coach. Justin Thomas beating Andrew Novak, first playoff hole to win the RBC Heritage. With that, we have something we call moment of the day. So I didn't play the Devils highlights because we got one here to start this. We were playing clips from the Devils and the Hurricanes. Boomer had some comments, which would lead to a remembrance of our first live show along the way.
Logan Stankoven, a turnover or a takeaway. Either way, it's 2-0.
You know what it is? I think I speak for all tri-state area hockey fans when I say this.
Shut the f*** up! You f***head Devil fan!
Oh my god! You know where that was from?
No, what?
That was from Boomer and Geo 1.
Boomer and Geo Live 1, yeah.
Oh, okay. Who was that yeller? Is that you?
That was me, yeah. Yelling at Devils fans because they're yelling at me because I had did I wear a Ranger jersey that night?
I think you did.
Yeah, you did. You wore a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, liquor. Yeah.
You were in a different
What I was going to say in regards to Tri-State Devil fan, hockey fans is that we all know that the Hurricanes are a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they're good.
Yep. And why can't our teams play that way?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
They're not as good.
They are, Phil. Jerry,
you are.
That night, I'm driving down to the event, and, you know, big boy over there gives me a call, and he's slurring on the phone. Make sure you get a couple drinks in there before you get here. I'm already there.
There you go. Moment of the day. Very good. What a night.
Thank you, Jerry. We will see you tomorrow. It's Boomer and Geo.
Well, with Jerry here, I just want to ask one other question since Phil is here. I mean, you did invite us to watch a football game at your house this past football season. And then you canceled on us.
Now, stop that.
You did.
No, go to confession.
Did he not cancel on us?
There was a miscommunication about the date.
The date we were going to do it.
Was the day we did the football game.
All of a sudden, you wanted to do the football game. So there you go.
All right. He didn't cancel.
I didn't cancel is right.
We just never rescheduled.
Okay.
That's true.
which should have been your responsibility, because we can't invite ourselves to your house.
Sure,
like
you
that.
Can. Come on. I've listened to you guys on the radio.
I mean, Deirdre has invited me a number of times.
Oh, my gosh, my daughter. Yes. When are you going to have them over?
Exactly.
Oh, my
God.
Damn.
That's how she really talks.
Yeah, she does.
What about a summer blast? Like a big backyard barbecue.
In the summer?
Well, you're
never
going to
come
summer.
Up in the summer. You're not going to do that.
Well, actually, skinny dip it in the
pond. No, a lot of snapping turtles in there, big boy. Fresh meat. They wouldn't know what to. You'd have three attack you, man. You know, and once when we built the house and it was a hot summer day, and the air conditioning wasn't working yet. So I got in the pond or lake or whatever and swam across it and then swam back. And then, you know, a week later, I see these snapping turtles everywhere. I go, what the hell was I doing? And people go, you ever swim in it? No.
Is that the lake that is Franklin Lakes? Is
no,
that the
no.
lake?
It's,
or is it just Shea Simmons?
I don't know what
lake.
You call it. It's a pond, a lake. You a know, lake. Water goes through, goes over the dam, and goes into a bigger part across the street from me.
Okay.
So.
There you go. All right.
But, you know, you're welcome to come over this summer and swim in it one day. That would be interesting. Man.
Quite the experiment.
That'd be a gourmet meal for a month.
All right,
oh, well, come on, let's go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All righty, man. We got about 10 more minutes with the great Phil Simms here. It's gone fast. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Well, you know, I said, when I'm driving in, I heard you guys talk. I said, you know, I'll go on there for about an hour, and then that'll be it. I'll get my out of here. But
no.
You sidetracked me too much.
And once you're here, man.
Yeah, you know, no, it goes quick, though. Wow.
Yeah, it does go quick, and especially when you're enjoying yourself. So, and that's exactly what you're doing. Hey, two players that I know that you wanted to talk about, because we have been talking about it off air, and we haven't gotten to these players. We do not know whether or not they'll be picked by the Giants or the Jets, but they are players that caught your eye for one reason or another.
Yeah, guys like edge rusher, Mike Green, played at Marshall, 6'3", 251. And here's my notes. Has it all. Bends around the edge. Reckless. Tough as hell. And, you know, 17 sacks last year. I don't care where you're playing. You get 17 sacks, you're getting it done.
Plus, he was a combine freak. Like, he broke all the records at the combine.
He's a guy that can, yeah, he hits all those metrics if you want to go that way, too.
Yeah.
But he plays extremely fast, tough. And I wrote down Brian Burns. You know, Brian Burns, I think, had a really solid year with the Giants last year. And his speed and everything. And now this guy is kind of reminds me of that. The other one is a tight end from Bowling Green, Harold Fanning. And you and I talked, and I said, Boomer, you got to watch him. One, I watched him really and studied his game at Penn State, where when the game was over, I went, hell, he's one of the better players on the field.
Did Penn State try to recruit him from Bowling Green? That's the question.
Well, they did this. So he's coming out, but whatever. And I said to Boomer, why you got to watch him? He runs, and you're going to almost laugh. He doesn't bend his legs. It's unbelievable.
How is that possible?
Well, I mean, they bend, but it's just amazing. And he's fast, and he's productive, and everything. He can block. He can run good routes. He catches the ball easily, everything. And like I said, when you dominate from Bowling Green at Penn State, that tells me something.
You know, what else is amazing is where the draft has gotten to from where it was when we were drafted, and now they're going to be at Lambeau Field. It's going to be a big production again. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great look to it and everything else. A lot of these guys are not going. Shedeur Sanders is not going. Jalen Milroe, for some reason, is going. Jackson Dart has decided he's not
going
to go.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if I were one of these players, because there's always a chance that somebody's going to drop. But there are a number of can't-miss players within the top 10 players, like Mason Graham out of Michigan.
Oh,
Ty
man.
Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, right? Miss, I mean, these two guys are can't-miss players.
And Loveland, the tight end from Michigan. I mean, man, Michigan. Man, they got a lot of good players.
How about the DB from Michigan?
He's going in the first round,
now, he's
too.
A 6'2", 190-pound guy, right?
He's a guy that can be what they call the big nickel corner. You know, he can play different positions, yes.
So, I mean, like, no trades. No trades as of yet. You think we see something spectacular?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some trades, but I don't see any of the trades happening, except it's for they want to get one of these quarterbacks that, and don't want to wait to the top of the second round. Which
could somebody be in love with Abdul Carter where they come to the Giants and they offer a king's ransom?
I don't think it's going to happen. And the Giants don't do it.
Yeah, and they love the guy, obviously, enough to have him post on social media a picture of Lawrence Taylor, saying, and it says, once a Giant, always a Giant. I mean, I don't think he's doing that because he doesn't think he's going to the Giants.
Well, at first, I always thought that Cleveland would take him with Myles Garrett, here we go.
Right.
But now it's Travis Hunter they're going to take. They need some playmakers, of course, in Cleveland, especially because they need help. They need guys that can help the quarterback.
I mean, this is shaping up to be a pretty chalk draft at this point.
It feels that way.
I mean, it's just the Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
The big story.
Well, the old linemen, are going to go.
Yeah,
these edge rushers are going.
Nobody gets too excited about that stuff once you get towards the middle of the late first round. But really, it's going to be the story of the night to me is going to be where Shedeur Sanders falls to.
That's it.
And how far does he fall, and what are the reasons for that fall? It's interesting, thinking back in the middle of the college football season and everybody saying that Shedeur Sanders was the best quarterback of the draft.
Right.
And all of a sudden, now here we are, we're on the cusp of the draft, and it's been I fell significantly, so I know what that feels like.
Right.
The question is how far does he fall, and why is he falling? Is it because of the external stuff, all the stuff that's going on around him and his dad is Deion? Or is it legitimately because people think that he's not committed to the game or he can't play the game?
No, I think he's committed. I talked to somebody, probably yesterday from Colorado, who really filled me in on many things because I wanted to know how the workout went with the Giants, and they were ecstatic about it, that's for sure. But he's falling, but the reason is people who are not in the NFL were ranking him. And once the NFL got involved, now the subject changed, what they thought of him changed, and that's why, and everybody's going, why has he fallen? Well, that's it, because the NFL, it's where they're grading him. It's not where the NFL Network, people like me or anybody else that says this stuff.
What does your son Christopher say? Where does he have Shedeur Sanders?
He has him, he thinks that to take him high in the first round, it's not going to happen. He thinks he's in the 20s. Maybe early second. We'll see what happens. Who makes a trade?
If it was early second, that would be a precipitous fall.
He'll go in the first. But the big one, I guess, is everybody keeps saying is New Orleans. And you heard me say earlier, man, New Orleans.
Tough situation to go to.
Christ.
And Cam Ward is someone you really like. And if you're the Titans, you're taking him.
Man, he's everything. And listen, I watched him in a duel with Tyler Shuck in Louisville. It was like 52-49. And it when you watch Cam Ward, there are minimum 5 plays a game. You go, that is special. And I mean, he does it with ease. His arm is special. He moves around better than everybody thinks. Boomer likes to make fun. He's a big, thick dude. Let me tell you.
Big and thick.
He is thick. He breaks tackles.
You know what? I don't make fun. I mean, that's the language you use. So when I use it here, I have to say it's not my language. It's your language.
But to talk about Cam Ward, he kind of came out of nowhere. And here's the other thing. Wherever he goes, he's the team captain. And this is a fact. He walked on the field the first day in Miami, and they walked in. The head coach saw him and go, hell, he's the captain. He's already over. And that just tells you about who he is and how he interacts with his players.
And that's why he's going to be the number one overall pick. It's not just the explosive plays on the field, but it's exactly what
he's got everything. His dad has done a great job of keeping him grounded and everything. I tried to get in contact with him. I wanted to go work him out and just, I want to see him.
Yeah.
And the dad says, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Because it's smart. That's what you got
to
do.
Did you tell him about the foxes that might have gotten them to change their mind?
Hey, yeah, no, I didn't tell him that.
Snapper turtles.
Totally disrespecting Phil Simms.
Yeah, I don't like that now.
I don't like that now.
Cam Ward, I just got it. And he's the perfect example of a pro day. After all the film and everything you see, it's all good. And his pro day, he was just showing off.
And the Giants last year, if Tommy DeVito doesn't win a couple of games,
they would have him.
They would have Jaden Daniels potentially, or Caleb Williams. Oh. And then this past year, it was Indianapolis and Drew Lock, having that game, they could have had him.
Amazing. Quick question for you. What do you think the Patriots do at number 4? Is it a wide receiver? Is it an offensive lineman?
Yeah, it was Campbell.
Campbell from LSU. Are you sold on him as a first tackle off the board?
No, I'm not. I he's not that big mammoth dude. He's a pretty good athlete. And, you know, I even hear people that got these mock drafts say, yeah, fourth pick, bum, bum, bum. Might have to move him to guard after a year or so or something. I go,
what the hell are you drafting him that?
How can you do that?
You're drafting him that high because he's supposedly a tackle.
Yeah, but I've heard.
A franchise tackle.
I hear a lot of people that talk like me and get on all this stuff saying you might have to move him to guard. Now, I'm not taking somebody where I think I got to move him to guard. So
Phil,
that's just me.
Thank you for coming in. It was a blast.
Thanks for keeping me.
Absolutely. Enjoy draft night. I'm sure we'll talk to you after that. And maybe the Giants have a quarterback. Who knows?
Why aren't we doing a draft show? See? What the hell's wrong with you guys?
I don't know. Nobody ever came to us.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
we could have. That would have been great.
Al doesn't want to do it. Al said no. I'm not in.
Well, yeah. I don't think Al did it then.
No one asked us.
Yeah. Al was hoping that no one was going to ask us.
Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to. People are afraid to approach Al with these projects.
Yeah.
Because they know. He is just going to say,
not doing it.
Thank you, guys.
Not a good time.